Okay, I'm just going to say that I do not have as much to say on this episode as I usually do because I'm coming off of 2 months of working every single day for about 16 hours every day. And I'm real tired. And I got through Fashion Week, which ended on March 5th. And then yesterday was the Oscars, which was a 17-hour day for me. And I got home at 6 a.m. And immediately fell asleep. And I did wake up at 11:30. And that was good. but I thought I would have more time today. I have listened to this album many times now because I started listening to it last week. But I just did not really take a lot of notes. But I have some things that I like about it. That I will say,
I'm bringing a vibes album. I thought a vibes album would be a fun way to start us back up this season.
Absolutely. You know? It's so Michael and I love it.
Yeah. I feel this is so Michael. I don't know any other artist who's so Michael. I literally play League of Legends with a friend who I've only known through playing League of Legends, right? And we're like fairly decent friends. Like we have each other's real phone number. You know what I mean? Like we'll talk. Mm-hmm. And he asked me to send him my top 100, you know, Spotify thing from last year. And he was like, who is Slater? He's straight. And he was like, wait, this is so good. This is fun. It's like Lady Gaga, but now. And I'm like, you know what? She would love to hear that. She would love if you told her that.
When I initially saw like this is like you put some of these songs on our like group playlist, sometimes I'm like, oh brother, another song was like, and then the verse is just like wig merkin or something like that.
Sounds good.
Wait, we got a top 20 hit on our hands. Let's start the episode. On that note, click.
Remember that record that you bought me like 2 years ago? Well, I just remember that it's sitting in the closet. So I called you up just to tell you I've been meaning to listen to that. I've been meaning to listen to that. Why don't you come over and talk about it? Ooh. You come over and talk about it.
Wig,
Merkin.
Didn't you literally put hair, body, face on the playlist?
Why do you? I love those Ally Maine
songs.
Dude,
I love the Ally songs. I get in so many fights with Jonathan about how good those Ally songs are because he's like, it's so annoying. Like, why do you do that? I love them so much.
What's so funny to me is the point of them in the movie is like, look at this freaking sellout making bad music. And I'm like, I love those three songs.
But hey, everybody, welcome to I've Been Meaning to Listen to That, the podcast where we go through albums we've been meaning to listen to and use as a conduit to learn about each other and our guests. I'm Andrew Ambrose Lee.
I'm Michael Lamentato.
I'm Harper Thompson.
And Stanley is not here this week because he had a little boo-boo on his mouth. He had his little baby. Toofy hurts. So yeah. He had nerve damage on his little mouth.
He's just getting a root canal. Fake excuse.
Freaking over here.
Sorry.
Cut that. Welcome to the show. So it's
root,
just me.
Root canal makes this kitty go purr. Is that what you're trying to say?
Yeah, that's right. Saved it. We're here with Michael and Harper this week. It's a Michael's pick episode. We're here to talk about Slater's star R. I don't really know what it means, but
is
like,
this
I'm
our
sure...
new season where we're not allowed to swear anymore?
Yeah,
thanks to our partner.
Yeah, no explicit episodes.
and True Podcasting Network.
Yeah. So, we're here to talk about Slater Starfucker, the deluxe version with three extra songs. Let's start with Michael a little bit. How did you come across Slater? What's your Slater origin story?
Yeah, of course. I think the first time I heard Slater was the song Mine, which a lot of people, I think, know. Or maybe, you know, based on like Spotify that has like 53 million listens and her next highest is like 5 million. So to me, that's like you know, it's had some airplay elsewhere, right? She's a collaborator of Aisha Erotica, of Kim Petras. She kind of came up in this like late 2010s, not hyper pop, but like glitzy pop era, like making pop music that is unabashedly pop music, kind of with no ifs, ands, or buts about it, right? Like her first album, she recorded in a closet in her mom's house. She lived with her mom. The photo, the cover of the album is her in a tanning booth with the contrast turned to like 10 bazillion. And like, you know, it looks good, but she is, she's making pop music and she's not ashamed of it. So that is not what you asked me at all. You asked how I listened to her for the first time. She was adjacent to a lot of artists I already listened to, and especially her self-titled, her 2019 Slater, just really hits a lot of the pop sensibilities I really like. Mm-hmm. It also looks and sounds like it was made for $2, which I love. That's a vibe I really enjoy.
Yeah, even this album has a little, like, it's so, like, glamorous, and she's talking about a lot of, like, designer products and stuff like that, but there's still, like, this budget quality to even this album. This is a second studio album, but there's still like a budget quality to like the videos, to like some of the production, which is why even like why it's so incredible that she pulled it off too. So
that's kind of it. Like she is clearly the driving factor. She has less forces at work, powers that be that are affecting her, I feel. And that's part of what draws me to her. She just has a fun sense of humor for the most part. I will acknowledge that she was problematic in the past, you know, kind of a hick Missourian a little bit. Maybe hick is not the word I want to use. I am also from the Midwest.
She was the one who was problematic.
yeah, that's true. That's true. But she has apologized for it. And I think
of course,
largely maintains a pretty light-hearted sense of humor on the internet, and I enjoy her a lot. So
yeah. What about Harper? What's your knowledge history with Slater, if any?
Yeah, zero knowledge or history until Michael had started adding songs to the playlist, which I enjoyed. Which I thought was really bizarre that Slater hadn't come up at all for me on Spotify, because the algorithm feeds me a lot of music that sounds adjacent to this. And I do listen to like a lot of Kim Petras, and like Ash Nico, I feel like is kind of in this world. So, you know, those are two artists that I listen to like a decent amount. And I just really couldn't believe that I'd never heard Slater before, because I really enjoyed this, and it totally lines up with a lot of other music I listen to.
Yeah. Like for me also, well, I did know her from her single Wig 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 Merkin, of course. Like we all love that.
Wig
shit.
Wig wig biow biow biow.
Yeah. So yeah, like I knew like, but really nothing else. Like I just like knew like Michael liked her and wanted to cover her on the show. And yeah, it's always like a dice roll with these like glitzy pop, hyper pop artists, or like people in this like underground pop scene. Like some of them I really really love, some of them are like, oh, this is a little derivative of like kind of what these other folks are doing, and but I really love this. I thought this is so incredible.
Who else do you really like in this like vein, out of curiosity?
I like Charlie XCX. I liked Hannah Diamond's recent album. I thought it was really good. Mm-hmm. But yeah, like Kim Petras is hit or miss for me. Like some of her songs I really like. Some of them is like, oh, not for me. So yeah, like that's really it. Yeah.
I haven't recorded since I saw her live.
Oh, yeah.
Boring concert, unfortunately.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
No.
Maybe it was that I saw her on a Monday night in Dallas on her third to last show of her tour. But I don't know. I was kind of like, come on, Kim.
All those ingredients are the ingredients for a phone-in show, though.
Exactly. Like, no, exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Third to last, and Dallas, Monday night. It's like
100%. Like, I was kind of like, give us what you got, you know? And the crap. Here's the thing, when she was doing Slut Pop, which I think is like one of her more
her
fun
one,
projects.
Yeah.
Such a fun song. Yeah.
She did all that in a section in the middle. And that was like the crowd like was like almost like kind of like looking everywhere but the stage at a certain point. And then like she started doing Slump Hop and everyone was like, this rocks! Like it keyed everyone back in. And then when Slump Hop finished, it was kind of like, okay, back to walking around.
Let's talk about this record. Like, Michael, you were a fan of this record, of her, before Starfucker came out.
100%. Yeah.
So what was the anticipation for this record? I remember you saying like this is like one of your favorite of 2023.
For sure. Maybe my favorite of 2023. That maybe is a little bit of exaggeration, but I'm still listening to it all the time. Like, and it came out, I mean, I guess kind of late 2023. So it makes sense that I'm still listening to it. The deluxe edition came out in December of 2023, but the other one came out, I think, September. So been spinning it for a little bit. Her first album was like pure sugary pop, and then Troubled Paradise, I think her first studio album, but like second album to me, was kind of has this like grunge pop feel to it. It's kind of like it's reminiscent of like a Dorian Electra a little bit, or like a I'm trying to think, like Ash Nico, like what you're saying. It's a little bit more, it has a little more edge to it, and some of them just don't hit for me. Like she has a song called Throatzilla on that album that should really hit for me because it's called Throatzilla.
Throatzilla,
yeah. Sounds like my kind of song.
But it's like a little, it's almost too, it was almost too like rock for me. And I've had to come back to that album. But on first listen, it was kind of the guy ripping off his headphones in disgust meme. It was not for me. But this, when she was releasing her singles for this, it was like back to the glitzy pop. She was saying she wanted to release something that was like the Fame Monster, which if you tell me that you want to release something like the Fame Monster, I'm like,
good luck.
Yeah, good luck. I mean, but she kind of did it. Can I say?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I knew I was going to like this, and then it came out, and I did like it. So.
Whoa, what an arc.
I mean, it's so nice when your expectations are high, and then they're met.
Yeah. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I feel like that happens so infrequently with my girls. Like, sometimes it builds up to what my expectation was initially, you know what I mean? But, or sometimes if you're Charlie XCX, you release the worst songs as singles, and then secretly your album was actually good the whole time, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Which I'm kind of hoping happens with Brat too. So yeah.
Brat. Oh, Brat. All right. So like, let's go over themes of this record. Let's talk about what this album is about, beyond making like pop heads, the gay people on pop heads say things like, let me pull this up here.
Did he pull up the pop heads?
Yeah. So
subreddit? This, oh my God.
This guy, this person named Husey_Popper, said, her is making my pussy wet. So like beyond like making folks say that on Reddit, what are the themes of this record?
That is so funny. I haven't even thought to pull up the pop heads of the
first. That could be a new segment of the show. Like for albums like this, like it could be that.
That is so funny. This also partially gives what Kim Petras thinks she gives. She ain't.
No, it's like the legit quote is from Dismal_Judgment5290 is Kim Petras if she took cunty biotics. Well, is it funny? Is it funnier more problematic if I read some than if you?
No, it's funnier.
It's funnier. It is funnier. Because I would maybe say something like this. Maybe.
Yeah.
I actually told Hayden, what if I start talking really gay? I thought about, I think that might be something I really introduce into my, like, hey mama, when I see people. I think that could be a fun thing to mix in.
Yeah, like vote in the
maybe
poll.
I shouldn't
vote
say on that.
We're gonna have an Instagram poll, like to make sure, like ask that
make
question.
Michael gay again.
Yeah,
themes. Yeah, of course. I mean, it's about being hot is a big theme of this record, and also like your appearance, right? Like choosing how you want to look, and then committing
plastic.
To it, right? Plastic, and she's not ashamed of enhancing her features. You know.
Mm-hmm.
She is so proud of her boobs. I'm not surprised that Kim Petras thought she was trans because she loves her boobs, you know?
Mm-hmm. I love that.
No comment on that on my end. So
yeah, I mean, she did you know this album was almost called Mrs. New Tits?
That's pretty good. Yeah. Like that.
She says that a line at one point in one of these songs.
Hello, it's Miss New Tits. Miss New Tits is like, what? What?
Yeah, it's like two, like Starfucker is like the name of the, and it's like kind of about like what it means to be a star in 2020. So like she talks about, she did an interview with Interview Magazine. she talks about like single ladies and how there's not like a hit song like that anymore, where everyone was doing the dance. Everyone was like, and hit songs these days, they don't have that impact anymore. They're like, someone like her Beyonce's new song doesn't have that impact anymore. And like nowadays, like having a hit song doesn't have that impact. Having going viral doesn't have that same impact. Having an expensive music video, being on a label, doesn't really have the same impact in the same way. And she seems to be a student of celebrity culture, pop stars. And then it's also like, there's this fucker side where the way she talks about sex is like that Oscar Wilde, I almost said tweet, like that Oscar Wilde, like
that quote. Classic Oscar Wilde tweet. Yeah.
I saw a tweet once.
Quotes are almost like tweets, don't you agree?
Yeah, this one's under 180 characters or a billion now in 2024 on X.
Yeah, you can go to a billion.
Yeah, it's weird. It's like 140, then 280, and then a billion.
Yeah,
words on a tweet.
Exponential growth.
That's pretty cool. But the quote about like everything in the world is about sex except sex. Sex is about power. So it's like kind of like this. She is like the star fucker where she has sex with famous people. Like this song isn't on the album, but Daddy AF is about how she had sex with this celebrity and then had this like rush of like power and adrenaline and stuff. But also like nowadays she has the clout where people want to have sex with her for the, you know, the story or the clout or something like that.
I'm like, yeah. What straight men are like, oh my God, are you Slater? You know what I mean? Like, I'm sorry.
I don't know.
I'm sure I just think she's very hot. Like, she is very hot. Yeah. So I'm sure it's like, oh my God, you're hot. Like, that's more what I think happens than, oh my God, you're Slater. You know what I mean?
But like, you know, there's some like, I don't know about straight people, but like, I don't know. But like,
Bisexuals?
Yeah. Yeah. Like,
bisexuals, parenthesis positive.
Yeah. So, what about you, Harper? What do you think this album is about? Like, I have some more things, but I'll save them for later.
I think this is about, like, being, like, kind of a hot young person in LA specifically. Like, there's kind of, like, that old Hollywood thing, but I feel like the old Hollywood thing is such a, like, idea that's, like, it's almost, there's something, like, Paris Hilton-y to me that's, like, you know, she's at the chateau and there's all this, like, you know, I forget which one where she's talking about that, but it's, like, this concept of being a young star in LA that she's kind of going for here.
The old Hollywood thing doesn't exist and hasn't existed for like 50 years. So it's like funny to remind, like the album cover is so like, look at me lounging with my panther in the background. I'm smoking my cigarette on a cigarette holder. You know, like I'm very glamorous.
It also like plays with like that mystique. Like mystique is a big theme of this album where like because of the modern age, we know too much about celebrities. And what makes her different from a lot of these folks is that she uses that mystique to her advantage where she doesn't share her publicly share her name. I'm sure some freak could find it and stuff, but she doesn't like openly share her real name.
She's like a drag queen in that way where it's like, I don't need to know what her real name is. I'm going to call her Slater.
You know what I mean? Yeah, exactly. So like she's famous, but she's like not, she's anonymous at the same time. And like she uses that anonymity and mystique to create like this almost like goddess energy of like how like superstars used to be kind of like this, like I am nothing like you at all. Like, I'm not like, I'm not regular like you guys. And then it's like, she does that through her contradictions of like, she like is like kind of old, mixing like old timey Hollywood mixed with like erotic thrillers of the 90s and 80s. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, that's part of it. So,
yeah, I like that you mentioned erotic thrillers because the album cover, and Michael, you mentioned the album cover too. Both of those reminded me a lot of Body Double, which is this Brian De Palma movie from the 80s. I'm just going to send you guys the poster for the movie. It's basically like, it's very erotic thriller. It's this guy who's
totally.
Yeah, he's in this house that looks a lot like where she is. And he's like looking through the blinds at this woman across the way. And okay. So it's very LA, you know, it's very sexy.
Look at the cover for Erotic Electronic when it was a single. That is guaranteed supposed to be a knock of that.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, unless she is the world's biggest plagiarist, to remind us of that.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I had not seen that, but absolutely. Highly recommend that movie if you like this album.
Ooh. Do drugs make someone's kitty go purr in that movie?
Yeah.
I mean, pretty much.
I know. Yeah, I imagine so.
Sounds good.
Brian De Palma in the director knows, like, this is the scene where pussy goes purr.
Like, in the liner notes, it's like, Molly, pussy going berserk? Question mark.
Like, this, but not this. Like, cut it. Like, you know, like something like this. Like, in the first half.
Yes. The vibes.
But it's also, like, she uses also, like, satire to add into the mystique of it somehow is like a mix of like not taking itself too seriously while also being a heightened version of her real life. Like, she talks about getting plastic surgery for real, also doing drugs, having a real drug and alcohol problem for real. And but it goes beyond the satire sarcasm thing of the Jon Stewart thing of I'm saying this one thing but I mean the opposite. It's clear I mean the opposite, where like there are outrageous lines about being heroin chic, about Terry Richardson, about like cutting yourself, that are like clearly like so out there and so outrageous that they're meant to be funny. But like there's like a tension of like, oh, what if she means it? Like, what if she like,
clearly means at least some of it, right?
Yeah,
like
exactly.
That's part of it. And then it's where that line is. And I think we as like a society don't have space for a gray area a lot of the time. So yeah. I think that's so fun of her to do. Like,
yeah. It goes beyond like satire and becomes art of just like, what does this mean? You know,
for sure. And it's so easy to make like an album where you're like, look at me, the crazy girl, like where you'd be like the crazy girl, that's the problem. You know what I mean? It's kind of like, I mean, this is almost like Blackout in a sense, right? Where it's like, oh, you want a crazy girl? Here's what I'm like. You know what I mean? Also an amazing album, by the way. So in my upper echelon of albums. I'm talking too much.
No, it's your album. You can't talk too much when you bring an album.
Just enough. Like, just like
we're talking about the line
and like how Slater somehow balances it. Then there's also like Mystique in terms of like Mystique from X-Men. Like, she's a shapeshifter. She's like a pop shapeshifter. And she's like a student of pop music. And there are songs on here that feel like they could have been written for Charlie XCX, Petrus, Dua Lipa, Carly Rae Jepsen, Lady Gaga, et cetera. Like, they feel like Slater went like, here, Lady Gaga, try, what about this? What about something like this? And she'd be like, oh, yeah, oh, whatever.
So yeah, she would say, after my pharmaceutical convention in my house, I can work on this with you.
Yeah, yeah.
I did zero research. So, Michael or Andrew, if you could tell me, does she write for other people or have other people written for this album? Or what's the deal with the songwriting for her?
She was initially like a SoundCloud, like the pop equivalent of a SoundCloud rapper, where it's like, I'm releasing SoundCloud music. That's where mine is originally from. And so she did a lot of her own initial writing. She has a really heavy hand on everything she does, but she hasn't written for other people as far as I know. This is her own sort of, I mean, she openly admits to like, she's doing like a 2000s pop star thing. Like that's what she is trying to, that's her old Hollywood, is the 2000s pop stars.
Any other themes? Any other things you want to talk about, like thematically and such?
Themes is hard for me on that. I don't know. I just love to listen to this album. Yeah, it's just so sleek.
Just the mixing, like, is so perfect, and like all the sounds and the soundscapes are so interesting. The choices for the drums and all that. It's fucking awesome. So yeah.
And nothing overstays its welcome on this album. Like, I feel like it is not too long. It is every song. There's no songs that are like less than 2 minutes or approaching 2 minutes. Like, they're all like 2:30 to 3:30 ish. Mm-hmm. Like, they're song length, which is good.
Not like that novel that Lana Del Rey puts out every week.
Okay, sometimes a Lana Del Rey song, if I Venice Bitch, I like, which is the exception where that's like a 10-minute song. Mm-hmm. But most of the time, if I see that it's like an 8-minute song, I'm kind of like, all right, girly, let's get into it.
Time to put on my reading glasses.
That's like a vegetable of a song. Gotta eat my greens, I guess.
Speaking of Lana, though, and also album covers, I felt like her album covers for Troubled Paradise and then that like kind of second, the one after that, that looks kind of spin-offy. Those ones both really look Lana inspired to me.
She says Lana is a big influence of her. Like, she says that when she talked about Mystique, she says she's the one person who it is kind of outside the TikTok age, like Beyonce too, but like Lana specifically, like the way she got out of that disastrous Question for the Culture letter, like the way she got her acclaim back was shutting the fuck up for a while and just putting out music for a while that fed that Mystique.
The Mystique, I mean, you don't have to put yourself all the way out there to be popular now. Like, I really think that's like a mistake of TikTok tricking people into thinking that you need to like do this whole thing, where sometimes it's best to just put out your music and just let that speak for itself, which I think is good.
Well, speaking of for ourselves, let's take a break, Clay. And we're back. Here to talk about Star Bleaver, right?
So cut that too.
What?
I don't have anything to say after that.
What? All right. Guys, so
unrelated. Yeah. I've been waiting for someone to ask me what I'm drinking so that I could say that I'm the least on Al Ghaib and I'm drinking the water of life. That's all.
Wow.
I've just really been waiting. Yes.
That has been running through my head like ever since I saw that movie.
Me too. I just do it all the time.
I literally want to do that all of the time.
Oh my god.
I saw a video of someone pounding on their bed to get their dog to come out from under the sheets.
Yeah.
And it was like the dog like swimming around in the sheets. And then it was like, ah!
We played a show on Sunday night, and I was like, wouldn't it be great if we covered that song?
It's like kind of not a song. Like,
it's not.
I get that
it's a lamentation.
Yeah.
In the subtitles.
I know I'm not supposed to be talking either, but I've also had the like low chants from the first movie in my head. They're like,
I'm gonna get the same face tattoos that Rebecca Ferguson gets, by the way.
Oh, good.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. All right. Well, that's just been a little June segment, but we can do that now.
Let's talk about Slater's Star Bleeper. What are some highlight songs? Michael, what's a highlight song for you?
Oh, so much of this album. I'll go top down. I wanted to do the deluxe because I think Starfucker, the song, is so, you know, fucking good, as she'd want us to say. I'm like a Lincolnista of Slater. She's made like a lot of music that she just hasn't released. I think that's like the nature of being a SoundCloud artist sometimes, is you've done a lot of stuff that maybe isn't album worthy or just hasn't worked out. And I had heard kind of the initial draft of Starfucker when she was like dinking around with it. And this version of it is so good. This is so fun. I love the distorted vocals before the chorus. And it's just like a chorus that you just want to like pound out to. It's so good. Like, if you need to push on a jog.
Jack off to?
Like, no, like, oh yeah, no, like it's so good. Like, yeah, you want to get, I'm grabbing my Dune 2 popcorn bucket. I'm good to go.
I like her tactic of like this, like, the assault on the senses and then the vulnerability and then going back into the attack mode of just like the sound, the collage of sound. It's really great.
Yeah, I hadn't looked at the regular version of this album because I think I just went to the deluxe version first and just listened to that until today when I checked which album we were talking about. But I had only listened to the deluxe version, and I can't believe like it's the first three songs that aren't on the regular album because I can't imagine this album without Starfucker. It's like, I think to me, I agree. This is, I feel this is the best song on the album.
I do think I Love Hollywood is an amazing album.
It's
opener.
A great opener. Yeah. Like,
especially cause it has those spoken word parts. It has a part that's actually genuinely funny to me, which is very rare when she's like, I've never done drugs in my life. Yeah. And then he's like, you're doing coke right now.
I remember hearing that joke on Home Improvement once. That was pretty great. Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's obviously not a joke that it's not nothing. I mean, it fits on there. It doesn't feel like you're doing like a knock knock joke in the middle of your song. Like, it's funny. You know?
It is funny. And like in this deluxe version, I imagine this to be a great opener, but having Starfucker, Makeup, James Dean, and I Love Hollywood in a row is so
it's
incredible.
Pretty crazy.
Yeah. Oh,
I kind of don't like Makeup. Say hello, light, but that might be not. I'm actually not going to talk about that right now.
Okay,
but
yeah,
I do agree that the four has some good songs in those four. Some very good songs.
Interesting. I wonder which one he's talking about. Thanks for being coy about that.
Yeah.
Harper, what's a highlight song for you?
Oh, boy. I really enjoyed Miss Belladonna. I feel like that's the one that really stood out to me. We kind of talked a lot about how she's doing like a 2000s pop, kind of a late 2000s pop kind of thing. And to me, that was the one that really stood out as something that like I would have probably listened to in high school, like alongside Marina and the Diamonds and that kind of.
Oh, it's so, you know? Marina. It's so Marina, especially the rhyming scheme. Like, I call them up whenever I wanna. That's so Marina.
Yeah. And I like when it like kind of breaks down and it's like the way that I dance, you know, I love that part. It's so good. It's so good.
That's also very Lana. Like there are a couple songs where there's a lot of spoken words sections that are very Lana-y. Mm-hmm. Also. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This was the first single from this album. And when I heard this, I was like, okay, I know what she's doing. Like, I think that is very much the thesis of this album. Yeah. Is like me, Miss Belladonna, the vixen of Hollywood. Like, that's what it is. And she is exactly selling that here. And being like, I am a seductress, I'm beautiful, I am in charge of choosing when I'm being the beautiful seductress. Like, it's so fun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And I feel like also, yeah, I just feel like it's such a, I don't know, it's like a classic to me, and probably classic also to Slater, like pop sound, you know. It's it's just so good.
Absolutely.
Yeah, my highlight is I Love Hollywood. I love the rap singing on it. Like the party, but I never sleep. I look so heroin chic. It's not fashion. Oh, that is so incredible. Like, it's so catchy. Like, it's also like very cinematic. It's about like some serious subject matter. Like, Hollywood can be really gross and awful, and there's this real dark side to it. But it's like there's a David Lynchian quality to like how surreal it is, and like how, the video is awesome too, like where it's like it ends with like her like in a gimp suit and like a bathtub full of blood. So it's like really there's a dark implication, but it's also, again, it's not supposed to be taken too seriously, but it is serious at the same time. Like evoking the chateau where like John Belushi died is like really like a really dark joke, but it's like really kind of it's cool. It has that great Tim Allen joke at the end. So like, I've never done drugs in my life. You're doing coke right now.
Tim Allen, our combined favorite comedian.
Yeah.
I do want to say, like, obviously the whole song is saying, like, here are the bad things about Hollywood, right? And like, watch me glamorize them. Like, I think this is the most satire song that exists on this album, right? It's so much like, it's not fashionable to eat. That is a satirical line if I've ever heard one.
What's another highlight, Michael?
I love this whole album. Like, it's really hard for me to just be like, here's a song.
Free reign to gush about whatever.
Okay, fine. I'll say, I think Erotic Electronic is so good. That also kind of does the rap singing that I Love Hollywood does. And it has this backing track that reminds me so much of, like, I watched a show called Dragula, which is like a horror themed drag show. And it's hosted by these two drag queens who are a couple called the Boulay Brothers, which I think is a very funny couple name to have as drag queens. And they make the world's worst music, and they make the queens on the show sing to their bad music. But the music is well produced. It's not, a lot of times, not the beat that's the issue. And Erotic Electronic sounds just like a Boulay Brothers song if it was good. which is a big plus for me. That is very hard to, without going down that road, explain to anyone else.
She loves, like, I remember reading somewhere that she loves, also Heidi Montag is a big inspiration for her, and she loves these like tacky flop era pop artists too. She's a big fan of those. So like, incorporating that into this music while executing it perfectly is so cool. I also love in that song, like, the video, like, is so,
her videos are so fun for this, and that is where you can tell the album is made for $2. Those videos.
But yeah, in case you haven't seen the video, like, she in the middle of it, she walks down like a Hollywood street, like naked, and like, there's like, the lyrics cover her like breasts and vagina, like breasts and vagina and stuff. And like, it's really like, that's like all the themes of the album, just like in that one moment of performance art.
I don't know if this song says that much other than like, I'm sexy again, like, like the rest of this album. I'm not bringing this as like, here's this poem that I love. Like, that's not the purpose of this album as I bring it to you guys. Right. Mm-hmm. So I'm glad you are enjoying it for what it is. I'm glad you guys enjoy it for what it is.
Yeah.
And what I like about it.
Michael, I have a question for you. So for like, with Erotic Electronic, like, I feel like it kind of, that song has a slightly different vibe than the rest of the album. Like, do you feel that way, or am I just imagining? Like, it's like, it's a little less like pop vocal forward and a little more
production heavy,
vibey, and
for sure.
Yeah.
That's part of why it reminds me so much of like a drag queen song, because it's like, what if I made an amazing, fun techno beat and then just talked over it? I do think that is, like Andrew was saying, that's part of like being a flop star a little bit, like, is making songs like this. And I totally agree with you, Harper. How does that work for you? What do you think about that when you hear it?
So I was thinking about it. I was trying to think about Low Lights, because I, you know, that is our next segment on this podcast. Uh-huh. And the first one that I thought of was actually Erotic Electronic, but I don't think I actually think it's a low light. I think it's just the most different from the rest of the album. Like, I think it stands out the most to me. So I think it's just different. It's not bad. It's just different.
It's not glitzy pop. But I do think it leads really well into like Purr and Plastic, both of which I feel are harder edged. And also so good. Not to detract from you saying that, but I do think almost moving it to that production based, like, I think Purr is really production heavy too. You know, it has like this heavy synths where it's like, and then having the, oh my God, when it has the cat sounds in it.
Yeah.
That kills me. The
meow. Yeah, I was playing this album out loud just before this to Jonathan, and I was like, this is like the music I listen to when I have to get a lot of work done. And he's like, no wonder you have anxiety. But yeah, like something like Purr Plastic is exactly like on my level for when I'm trying to just like focus on a task and like knock it out. So much like Ashnikko, who I will also listen to when I'm trying to get stuff done. And like Alice Glass, I feel like is another one.
Totally.
Just heavy electronic screaming at you with noises.
Almost no, like less musicality and more so like buzzing.
That's the moment I love in Purr, is that moment where, so in the first course, it kind of teaches you how to listen to it, like, drugs made this kitty go purr, and then it like becomes like noises that evoke that chorus, like durr, 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 durr. It's just like, it's like, it's really cool. Like, yeah, the drums on that song are just incredible.
Oh my god, Andrew, I love you saying it teaches you how to listen to it. That's such a, that's very profound about this song, because that is exactly what it's doing. It's like, here's the sing-along part. Okay, here's what if I didn't sing.
Taking out elements, putting stuff in, like, that's a blank check term, so like, I don't want to like, take credit for that. I don't want to like.
No, but yeah. I mean, teaches you how to watch it is so different from teaches you how to listen to it.
Yeah.
I wouldn't necessarily apply that either way, but you know what? We're part of the blank check averse now.
Yeah. Ben was on our show at one point. So any other highlights that we haven't talked about that we want to?
Girl Like Me, Rhinestone Heart, Out of Time, Tear Me Open, Memories of You, My Body, Traumatic. Actually, this whole song, my favorite song, changes like every week for what I'm listening to. I'll listen. This is one of the few albums I'll listen to front to back, front to back, front to back, front to back.
It's really easy.
And then my on repeat for a while was just like all of Starfucker and then like three other songs. Like that was literally what it was for forever. And I just like whatever my favorite one moved up on my on repeat a little bit more and then back down. But I think I want to give a special shout out to Dramatic. That song, it really, I come back to all the time, especially 1-2 Punch with My Body. Dramatic and My Body are both so good. And they're showcases more of her capability to sing. She's not like a an early days Kesha where you don't really think she can sing. I know Kesha can sing, but like,
yeah.
She does the sing talk thing, but she can also really sing. In my opinion.
Yeah.
She's melting a lot on Miss Belladonna a lot. Yeah.
That's true.
Oh, yeah, definitely. My notes here, I only took notes on two songs and they were Dramatic and My Body. Yeah. Dramatic sounds like Cora Corman from Music and Lyrics. I don't know if you guys have seen that perfect film, but it's very good. It's a rom-com where Hugh Grant and Drew Barrymore are songwriters.
Hey, I've been meaning to watch that. Wink.
I've been meaning to watch that.
Maybe. I don't know. We'll see.
I mean, I'm on wink, board for maybe. That.
Are you doing a double wink, aka a blink?
Yeah, that's how I flirt. Wink, maybe, unless you're into it. I don't know.
But wait, actually, have you guys seen that movie?
I've not seen it, no.
Okay. Can I just tell you, Cora Corman is like a pop star. She's a young pop star, clearly inspired by like Britney Spears and Christina Aguilera. And so she's doing this whole, her whole album that she's working on is very deeply problematic, but it was very 2007. It's like Buddhist inspired. And so she has like Entering Booty Town as one of her songs. And it's like all these kind of like sexual, like, oh, Shanti, Shanti, like all this stuff is like so bad and very, you know, bad. But anyway, but she's so like, the music in it is really good. I think it's maybe like written by Adam Shankman. And it's just, it's like pitch perfect, like pop satire. And Dramatic like really makes me think of Cora Corman from Music and Lyrics specifically.
Mm-hmm. It doesn't sound good necessarily.
No, it's so good. Like... it's a perfect movie.
The movie
rom-com.
Sounds good, but you saying it reminds me of this doesn't make me feel like Harper loves that song.
The songs are so catchy. Okay, so they're, you know, of course it's probably, but the point is that it's like, They present it in a way
that
where
was
it's
a little
like,
problematic, you know, we're like judging on that scale. Like,
yeah, no, they present it in a way though where it's like obviously like this is kind of offensive that she's doing this. Mm-hmm. And they're like, okay, well, we're songwriters and we're just gonna make some money here and give her a song. So they give her like a very earnest song, and everything else on her album is like, you know, the offensive Buddhist stuff. But anyway. But Dramatic does sound like it could fall on that album in the best possible way.
Okay.
And
okay.
I mean that way. As in the best possible way. I mean,
it's
that
like
Ellie
Main during her solo era.
Yes, exactly.
I like the songs where like Harper was talking about how erotic electronic sounds like it's from a different album. Like I think the songs where she's more vulnerable sound like it's a different artist than when she's going super aggressive and all, like production forward. Like I know she like avoids hyper pop as a label. But yeah, like when she, there's like a few songs where it feels like it could have been written for a different artist. Like Memories of You could be Carly, Rhinestone Heart could be Dua Lipa. Like some of these songs, like Tear Me Open seems like more the vulnerable Charlie. Like when she gets
Tear
a little
Me Open
more,
is like
yeah,
a,
vulnerable
as
Charlie.
Like a, yeah, mm-hmm.
Yeah, like some of that stuff. So I like that a lot. So that's pretty cool.
Sorry, this is like scattershot highlights, but Girl Like Me is probably my top on this album right now. I wish that I could just, I want to listen to it twice every time I listen to it. Like it's not enough for me. I love the, it's like twinkly, you know?
Yeah. I like the Daft Punk outro. That's pretty cool also. Like that's the part I like about that song.
Oh yeah, the
Yeah. Low lights. Let's talk about songs that are like on our lower lights.
Makeup.
Wow.
That was going to be mine. Can we share that one?
Yeah, we can share it. Absolutely okay. Share it.
Okay.
It does. That doesn't sound like the rest of the album, kind of in a bad way. And also, it's her only song on this that she did with someone else.
I didn't know there was a feature. I it just sounded like her. Like
it's, yeah, no, she sounds exactly like her.
Yeah, like, that's the problem. I don't know. I like this song. I think this is great. I think it's a great song. It's like showcasing that vulnerability in her unwillingness to be vulnerable or her difficulty being vulnerable, like how she starts fights so that she can have sex and like and sex is how she like feels close to someone or whatever. It reminds me of that Jay-Z line where Jay-Z says, I can't see him coming down my eye, so I gotta make this song cry. Where Slater is basically saying, I can't see him coming down my eye, so I gotta make this pussy wet. So that's pretty interesting.
How many times have you talked about that on this podcast?
What?
About a pussy being wet?
I'm pretty vulgar on this episode. I try not to be unusually. So
yeah, you were asterisking yourself. I'm talking about you talking about that line, specifically that line.
What? I this is the first time. Like the first time I've talked about this. What are you talking about?
Not true.
I don't know. I don't know. Okay. I actually don't remember if I've said that.
I'm 100% sure you've talked about this before. Right. I do want to say I'm gonna give you guys like annoying homework, but
oh boy, rubbing my hands together.
This it's just one song, okay?
Okay,
I do feel like Makeup is like she releases kind of like a one single like after this before she released the deluxe edition, and I was kind of like, oh, this is cute. I didn't know she was gonna release a deluxe edition, and I've known about this leak song Tommy forever, and it's not finished really. It's like, it got scrapped when it was almost done, basically. But it exists at a very listenable place, I feel. And that song basically does the same thing Makeup does, where it's like, this is me being showing me like being kind of desperate, like doing like kind of a desperate move. And I just all the time think I wish it was replaced by Tommy. Like in my mind, I know that that's not real. Like that's not how it exists, but Makeup should be replaced by Tommy. And also then it would keep this album just herself, which I kind of like that concept. Like if you have no features, keep it no features.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. I get it. I feel you on that. Any other low lights? I think like, it's more so like, I don't think any song is bad. I think just for me, like I look forward to like passages a little. I look forward to the Miss Belladonna dramatic My Body segment less than I like the first four songs, and less than I like the Memories for You, Rhinestone Heart, Erotic Electronic per Plastic segment of the album. I think that's so, that segment of the album is so perfect. And then like
you feel like Miss Belladonna to My Body is a little bit of a dip.
A little bit, just, but it's up. Like, it's not bad. It's just a little bit of a dip where I'm less interested in it than it's bad. So,
yeah, I think that's totally fair. I don't think that myself, but I think it's fair. Okay. You know, I get why you would think that. You know what I mean?
because I'm stupid, right? Because I'm
you have bad taste.
Yeah.
Terrible. Me, what if I started just being like, your taste is so bad to you guys?
Hey.
Like me with this album, I'm bringing this to you guys and being like, you guys better have good taste. Like,
yeah,
this.
I'm gonna make you only listen to boy albums for the rest of the year.
Oh no. Why? I mean, this is the perfect example of what I mean. Like, girls are supposed to sing.
Girls are like, supposed to sing.
If a boy made this, boo! I would absolutely hate this album. Girls are supposed to sing.
Oh boy. So
what? I can say girls are supposed to sing.
Yeah, I'm not saying anything about that. Any stray observations? I like
Harper is dying right now.
I'm so tired.
It's my fun.
I do feel like Andrew does not care for me saying girls are supposed to sing, and Harper always gets a little kick out of it.
It's very funny, but like, I don't think that's true, obviously. But like,
I think it's so true, except for I mostly listen to boy bands from the 2000s, the mid 2000s, but I do love it.
Have you ever thought about what if girls sang any of those songs, though?
Oh man, I watched Grey's Anatomy. I heard them sing Chasing Cars about 1,000 times. It was terrible.
Andrew's like barreling towards the end of the podcast. He's like, every time Michael says girls are supposed to sing, I'm cutting a minute off the recording time.
Okay,
yeah, I have a final thought. Yeah, I have a really important final thought. The very first sound in my body. It is the exact same first sound from Blue Dabba D by Isle 65.
Yes. So listen up.
Here's the story. Yeah, no, absolutely. And I love that.
James Dean. It's great. Great song. So good. Like, it's so excellent. Yeah.
So James Dean has a little bit of that, like more grunge pop thing to it that I feel Trouble Paradise does. So if you like James Dean, I would revisit Trouble Paradise.
Okay. So, yeah. Sick.
Honestly, I'm like, listen to all of her music she's ever released. Wait, do listen to Tommy though. I want to know what you guys think when you get the chance.
Okay, yeah, absolutely.
Listeners, it's on Spotify, it's on YouTube.
It's maybe because I don't have that expectation. I just assumed this was the song. That like Makeup was the song that I didn't have like the expectation of song that's better. Yeah.
I also like there's a YouTube video where you can, it's called Club Valentine. People make like a fan version of like the B-sides of this album, basically. So if you're ever interested, you can listen to all the like pretty good B-sides that are like Twist the Knife is really good. Psycho Lover, really good. is this annoying? Me talking about songs that don't even exist.
It doesn't exist. I like Plastic too. Like, obviously, I like the way she leans into the aggravating to the point it circles around to being catchy. Like, that's mm-hmm. That's such a great skill. Like, if it was just calculated like a little worse, that'd be a bad song. It also reminds reminds me of like Stupid Ho by Nicki Minaj a little bit. Like, that's really cool. And I like the transition in the from the bridge to the chorus is obviously so great. So yeah, those are my thoughts.
I think Her and Plastic are obviously songs you just want to talk about that we've barely talked about. Like, you can only talk about them. They kind of speak for themselves, but
yeah.
They're statements for sure. Right. Mm-hmm. So
yeah, and like it's cool that it's like Plastic. It's like one of the conundrum of plastic surgery is, you know, the expectation, male expectation leads people to get plastic surgery, and then people make fun of people who get plastic surgery for getting plastic surgery, even though it was the patriarchal expectation that made them do it in the first place, and then whatever, butter. But it's like, I like that this is a song about like, yeah, I look fucking cool with my plastic bits.
Like, I love it.
Yeah.
I love it. I love how much she loves her boobs. Like, yeah. I wish I loved anything about my body as much as Slater loves her whole body.
Yeah.
Even if it's exaggerative, still there's some, like, even if I'm turning anything in me up to 100%, nothing ever is going to come out like, wow, I love my body. You know what I mean? Like, that's never going to be the export of what I'm singing about. Which again, I should be singing.
You should not be singing.
Like, I should not be singing.
So any stray observations, anything we haven't talked about that just want to put out there?
No, thank you guys so much for doing this album with me. I love this album. This is literally like, I've been meaning to make you guys listen to this is what my episode should be called. Like, I want everyone to have listened to this album. I think it's like perfect pop. It exactly exemplifies what I like to listen to. Like, if a new album like this came out every year, I don't know what that even means necessarily, but like, this is what I'm seeking at all times when I'm looking for new music. Like, Slater has her finger on the pulse of me. And maybe not
on the pulse and like a foot on your neck.
Exactly. Step on me, mommy. Exactly.
Any other? Yeah. Let's go through final thoughts and ratings. The way this works is we're right to some 10. Michael, you kind of went into it a little bit. So
I know. Like, I'm sorry. I started.
Don't feel bad.
I'm out of practice. This is our first time back, guys. Yeah. So. Well, everything I just said, I think this is like exactly the type of music I'm looking for when I'm listening to new pop music. Obviously, I can't listen to all of this all the time, right? Like I said, I need to eat my vegetables. I need to listen to my, you know, 9-minute Lana Del Rey songs or whatever to balance out my diet. But, you know, if I'm not listening to this in a week, if you're like looking at my Spotify history and looking at what I'm listening to, and you don't see that I've listened to this in a week, check in on me. Like, be like, you okay? You haven't listened to your Slater today, this week. Like, check in. I think this is a great album. I am going to give it 10 Juvedermy lips out of 10.
Mm-hmm. All right. Harper, where are you at?
Yeah, I had a great time. I mean, I think I need to listen to it a little bit more, but I'm sure like I liked 6 out of 15 of these songs like on Spotify. They're on my liked now. So those will be in rotation.
Wait, what are the 6? Can you give us the 6?
I've got Starfucker, Miss Belladonna, My Body, Memories of You, Rhinestone Heart, and Plastic.
Nice. So those are my six.
Thank you. So yeah, those will be in rotation for sure. So I enjoyed it. I'm sure I will come to love it even more, but for now it's like a 7.5 out of 10 cigarettes smoked with passion.
Oh, that's good.
Mm. I'm going to give it, okay, so I have 2 metrics here. I'm going to give it 9 Y's in the name Slater, or...
Oh,
that's good.
Yeah, or I'm going to give it 9 invitations to that cunt Kathy. Like, I want to, like... I want, like, she's not a... She's
don't
fine.
Bring her.
She's fine. She's cool. Like,
don't
she
bring
picks me
her.
Up from the airport.
Like, so. Yeah, we all know Kathy has a car, but she's not fun to have around, okay?
Oh man. So yeah, I love Hollywood and I love this album. I think this is a great album. Like 10 out of 15 songs are on my saved songs here. You know, Starfucker, Makeup, James Dean, I Love Hollywood, Memories of You, Rhinestone Heart, Erotic Electronic, Purr, Plastic, and Out of Time are my guy. Oh, Tear Me Open on 11. So yeah.
That's pretty good. 11 out of 15 songs liked.
Yeah, it's great. It's a great time. Like, it's pretty like it's a great demo tape for niche stardom for her, and it's like it says some interesting stuff while also being turn off your brain, just, you know, slay, you know, mama, all that stuff. Like,
oh
yeah, so
slay mama all the way.
If this album isn't slay mama, I don't know what is slay mama.
Yeah, to quote the great Pusey_popper, this album,
he made the account clearly just to write that comment. Yeah. Which I love.
Yeah,
I don't know, this person could have like,
I'm clicking, I'm finding it, and I'm yeah, I'm going to Pusey Popper's. Oh no, that's not true, I'm sorry. they are
Pusey
quite,
_popper contains multitudes, so
they're active member of Pophead Circle Jerk, I will say.
So, so it makes my Pusey wet. So I'm going to give it, all right. I said 9 invitations to Kathy, and also Wise in the name Slater. So, yeah.
Both much better. You guys had much better ones than I did. I didn't really prep mine.
So yeah, that was our episode on Slater's Star. So I can't swear anymore. I ran out.
You used it up after you called Kathy a see you next Tuesday. You can't say it anymore.
Yep, that's right. That's right. So yeah, let's. You can follow me at Andrew Ambrose Lee on Instagram, and yeah, that's it. Yeah, Instagram. You can follow the show at IBMTLTT on Instagram and TikTok. You can follow Harper at Harping About on Instagram and TikTok, and Michael.
And Letterboxd.
Yeah,
and Letterboxd. Thank Goodreads. You. Most importantly,
Goodreads. And you can follow me at Lemon Taco, which Andrew was going to do, but I'm going to burst on in here with my cigarette and my cigarette holder and say you can follow me at Lemon Taco wherever good books are sold.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, like, hey, what do we do? What happens after that?
Thank you. We love you. Good night.
Yeah.
Bye. Oh, yeah. Thanks so much, everybody. Have a good day. Click.